KPBS On Demand is supported by the City of Chula Vista and the Port of San Diego hosting South Bay Earth Day at Bayfront Park on Saturday, April 18th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with tips on how to reduce your impact on the environment and hands-on green activities, food, and music. Additional information at southbayearthday.com.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, April 10th. As Artemis II is set to splashdown today, we look back at San Diego's ties to the space program. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. The San Diego Air and Space Museum is hosting an Artemis II splashdown family PJ night watch party today. It's a welcome home event for the Orion crew's four astronauts following their historic 10-day mission. The crew has traveled more than 250,000 miles away from Earth, setting a new record. The event starts at 4 p.m. and the landing is scheduled for 5:07 p.m. In addition to watching the live broadcast, there will be activity stations to explore how astronauts launch, travel, and safely return back to Earth. Air and Space Museum admission tickets are half off for those looking to join the splashdown watch party. And if you would prefer to watch from the comfort of your couch, you can watch the live broadcast on YouTube, Netflix, and more. The Fleet Science Center in Balboa Park is also celebrating humanity's return to deep space with Artemis Week. You can explore temporary Artemis II exhibits and activities, and even follow the mission in real time as it unfolds. You can also speak with NASA staff, like Adeline Morgan Roche. She says she's loved seeing Artemis II bring back the excitement around space exploration.
You go online and you see the amount of people posting about this and engaging online about the Artemis II mission. It really is inspiring, and we're so excited to, you know, have everybody come here and become a part of it, because, you know, we're all humans on Earth, we're all a part of this.
Artemis Week will continue at the Fleet through Saturday. Heads up, San Diegans, this weekend may not deliver on the perfect weather you're used to. It's expected to be windy and cool with periodic rainfall. A round of scattered light showers is expected to reach our coast on Friday, but taper off by Saturday at noon. The majority of the rain is now expected on Sunday, with leftover showers possibly lingering into Monday. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Attica Quartet and composer Caroline Shaw performing from their album Evergreen on April 15th at UC San Diego's Conrad Prebys Music Center. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
NASA's Artemis II mission splashing down off our coast today has brought space fever to San Diego. But San Diego's ties to the space program goes back decades. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says the mission of America's first woman in space lives on here.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We go for main engine start. We have main engine start and ignition.
When Sally Ride launched into space in 1983, she showed women and girls what was possible.
America's first woman astronaut, and the shuttle has cleared the tower.
After retiring from NASA, Ride started teaching at UC San Diego. Soon, she realized her calling was to give young girls the space to get excited about science.
Students will tell you that science and engineering are important. Science, technology, engineering are important. But they'll say, it's important, but it's not important for me.
In 2001, she founded Sally Ride Science to help girls realize it could be important for them.
They need to see a diverse group of scientists that, by the way, look to them like normal people, that maybe have dogs and cats, that used to be kids, so that they can start humanizing these careers.
14 years after Ride's death, the organization continues her mission.
Students are the future.
Maysoon Lametti oversees Sally Ride Science programming at UCSD.
That was one of her goals, was really to inspire more young women, especially underrepresented women, to not be afraid of STEM.
One of those young women is Alegra Calderon.
Science had always been interesting to me, but I was never too educated on it until visiting the camp, and once I started getting into it, I really thought it was something that I really enjoyed.
She attended the Sally Ride camp twice as an elementary school student.
It was really, like, empowering to, like, be around other groups where it was, like, all girls and, like this is, like, where you want it to be.
With all the buzz around the Artemis II crew these days, she's been thinking a lot about her time at the camp.
I think it's really incredible what they're doing and, like, so interesting and intriguing, like, seeing, like, the texture of the moon and, like, and being able to see, like, the solar eclipse from, like, a different, like, perspective.
Houston, Integrity, we are waving at you out of window 2. It's a beautiful blue little crescent out there.
According to the U.S. Department of Labor, women made up 8% of STEM workers in 1970. Today, they make up nearly 30%. Lametti says at Sally Ride Science, they're trying to prepare more girls for jobs in STEM.
Students can't be what they can't see. So the more we expose students to the different types of careers through the people who are actually teaching the classes, then the more they'll be able to see themselves in those shoes one day.
The program has served thousands of students, mostly from 4th through 9th grade. It also now serves kindergartners. Students are taught everything from robotics to marine biology. Some classes are also taught in Spanish. Lametti says what began as a summer camp 25 years ago is becoming a year-long program this year.
We're also going to be providing training opportunities for teachers this summer and hopefully to give them additional skills on how to make science more accessible to their students in their classroom.
Calderon is off to college soon. She is going to major in business and says somehow she'll find her way back to science.
I think that everyone should know that science is for everyone, and everyone should really, like, take the time to, like, even explore just a little bit of it, because it can really, like open your mind to, like, so many different things.
As astronaut Christina Cook makes history aboard Artemis II as the first woman to go beyond low Earth orbit.
We will inspire, but ultimately, we will always choose Earth. We will always choose each other.
She's also now inspiring a new generation of girls. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
Thousands of San Diego-based sailors and Marines are already in the Middle East or on the way. Thousands more are preparing to deploy. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says operations in Iran have more military families looking for help.
The aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln, the USS Boxer and 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, and soon the aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt. Altogether, these deployments mean more than 8,000 local sailors and Marines are absent from home, an added stress on their families.
We have seen an uptick in themes. Worry. Lots of worry. Panic, which is totally natural.
Sarah Howard runs operations at the Say San Diego Military Family Resource Center in the Murphy Canyon Military Housing Area. She put together a checklist to help families manage deployments. She can also connect people to different services and help them find community support.
Or at least keep yourself busy and pass the time, you know, distract from the worry. You really can't do more than that. You can't change what's going on. You can't change whether or not you could talk to your spouse. But you can distract yourself in a really positive way.
For more information, people can contact the Resource Center or visit saysandiego.org. We also have that deployment checklist online at kpbs.org. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
The San Diego Velodrome is a bike racing track in Balboa Park. It hosts multiple races each week, most of them segregated by experience and ability rather than gender. But Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the Velodrome recently began hosting races that exclude transgender women, and that's forcing difficult conversations about discrimination in the cycling community.
All right, the race is about to start. Listen to the race director.
Last Saturday, 10 women lined up on their bikes single file at the edge of the San Diego Velodrome. The race director signaled for them to do a neutral lap to set the starting pace. Then,
and you're racing! Let's go! We got Heidi kicking things off in front.
The racers formed a tight pack at first. But after a few laps, there were some clear front runners. The race on April 4th was sanctioned by USA Cycling, the national governing body for competitive bike racing. Last September, the organization decided to ban transgender women from competing in women's races. And that shuts out people like Talia, who's been racing at the Velodrome for almost 3 years.
Learning that there are people who are pushing for it is kind of disheartening because, like, you know, it made me realize that I felt disposable.
KPBS agreed to use only Talia's first name due to fears of harassment and violence. She was drawn to the simplicity of track bikes, which have only one gear and no brakes.
Little things make a huge difference, like the timing of changing lanes and the timing of sprinting, knowing like your body a lot better so that you know how long you can sprint. You're like, oh, I know I can sprint for like three laps at whatever pace, so you know, you plan.
A few months after her first class at the velodrome, Talia came out as trans and started her gender transition.
I was super nervous about like, oh, I like just started the sport, I don't know what to do. But the women were like super, super welcoming, and I felt like, oh, this is just like friends having fun. It was so awesome.
Most of the races at the velodrome are divided between beginners and advanced racers. There are also women plus races, open to all female identifying and non-binary people. But the San Diego Velodrome Association, the nonprofit that operates the racetrack, plans to hold at least six more USA Cycling races this year. The goal is to give racers opportunities to win points that can take them to the regional or national championships. Still, racers like Talia are left out.
California law is really clear. You cannot discriminate based on gender identity, which includes trans people.
Aureen Hegquist is an attorney who specializes in discrimination law. She says hosting USA Cycling races could expose the Velodrome Association to legal liability and potential loss of access to the racetrack. The association operates the velodrome under a permit from the city of San Diego. That permit prohibits discrimination based on gender identity. Hegquist says if the city declines to intervene and enforce that provision, it can also be sued.
If they know the discrimination is occurring and they're not taking action against it, that is the city's liability, because the longer the city allows it to continue, the longer the city has notice and is condoning the conduct.
The city declined to comment for this story. Sports organizations have been increasingly banning trans women from competing in women's events based on the belief that their bodies give them an unfair advantage. But that theory is not backed up by research. A recent scientific review of 52 studies on the issue found trans women who take gender-affirming hormone therapy have similar strength and endurance to cisgender women. Talia says she's lost a lot of strength since starting hormone therapy more than 2 years ago, but she didn't transition to win races.
Every day, just trying to survive without getting weird comments or looks, without having to like justify my existence, is so difficult. But even so, it's still better than before.
Talia says it's been hard watching the news about trans rights being taken away. She's found support and community at the velodrome, but things feel different now.
I don't feel super supported, and I know that like my trans friends also don't feel super supported, but I don't know what a good outcome is, because I don't want other people to suffer for me getting what I want. I just want to ride with my friends and be treated like a human.
The next USA Cycling race at the velodrome is April 21st. Talia does not plan on competing. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The company behind a controversial battery project near Escondido says it's dropping the plan. North County reporter Alexander Wen spoke to residents who say they're relieved.
Eden Valley is an idyllic rural enclave by Escondido. Residents here like it because it gives them a reprieve from all the commotion of city life. This was also where the global energy company AES wanted to build the Seguro battery storage facility on the site of a former horse ranch. But now AES says it's no longer moving forward with the project.
I'm relieved. I'm very relieved.
Amanda Black lives next door to the proposed Seguro site. Her main concern was the fire hazard. Though rare, lithium-ion batteries have been known to catch on fire.
We don't have technology to safely put them out, so they're allowed to burn for days.
AES says it is prioritizing other projects. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Fireworks shot off by SeaWorld may soon be a thing of the past. Reporter John Carroll says the park is now moving in a new direction, away from fireworks and towards drones.
SeaWorld has been shooting fireworks into the night sky since 1968, but following years of complaints about loud noises, frightening pets, and environmental damage to Mission Bay, the park is changing course. Next week, they'll ask the California Coastal Commission for permission to stage huge drone shows instead. San Diego Coastkeeper Executive Director Philip Musigas says the change can't come soon enough for Mission Bay's environment.
When the fireworks discharge, there's a lot of debris that falls into the water. That includes chemicals, cardboard, plastics, wiring, you name it.
If the Coastal Commission gives the okay, SeaWorld is expected to roll out their drone show in mid-May. John Carroll, KPBS News.
As we do for you each and every Friday, here are some weekend event ideas for you and yours taking place across the county. Saturday, City of San Diego police officers will play. Police Leading Adventures for Youth brings youth and officers together to play board games in an effort to have meaningful conversations, connect with the community, and share experiences. The event is from 3 to 6 p.m. in Chula Vista. And if it doesn't get rained out, Rooftop Pilates is also on for Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. on the rooftop of the Andaz Hotel in downtown. There you can get a workout in while admiring the skyline backdrop. And if you are over 21, the Estancia La Jolla Hotel and Spa is returning with their annual garden party this Sunday from noon to 4 p.m. You can check out spring-inspired artwork, roam through the gardens, or just enjoy some live music. Whatever you do this weekend, please enjoy. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Ruth and hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego Arab Film Festival, featuring films from and about the Arab world. The festival screens feature and short films March 27th through April 19th at the Museum of Photographic Arts at the San Diego Museum of Art. Information and tickets at sandiegoaff.org.